I expect I'm going to see an impeccably designed space at George Bellerian's New York apartment, a home where every chair or decoration has been carefully chosen for maximum impact, and the elements complement each other exactly, the kind of space you wish you could lift from a designer catalog. I was right about the impact part, but way off on the matching.
The sort of 9-foot dining oval table is a reinforced fiberglass, and it's white, so that's kind of a safe area. The big bowl on the center is a big slab of white Carrara marble, and yet the chairs, they're ribbed velvet, designed by Cini Boeri, on three legs with thick chrome polished legs. We didn't try to match anything, but somehow they all look smoothly blended into each other.
As I walk through George's home, I do notice that nothing matches. In fact, there seems as if there's no two of anything anywhere.
The art gallery corridor that you see has just enough paintings to keep your eyes busy. The Andy Warhols are obviously the repeat of the same in four different colors. The Japanese painting is just about as multicolored as you can be. Is it surrealist painting, as you notice? So the gallery is like a little trip that gets you excited and gets your blood going.
From the gallery, a two-story wall curves voluptuously into the lower living room space. As I follow it down the stairs, everything between my eyes and my knees is jammed with unrelated images and colors, like the papier-mâché sculpture and the retro Milanese stereo living around the corner from each other. But my eye knits them together, because George has painted all the walls white, and he's installed a fairly strict grid of terracotta tile on the floor. The walls and the floor are a rhythm and a frame that anchors the excited chaos of furniture and art.
So it's not about going out and doing the place by buying and putting them in the right places. The most important thing for me, really, if you want the truth, is the shell, the architectural shell of the house. If the shell is good, anything you put in it begins to look right. And you know, you're surrounded with materials here, chrome, ceramic tile, wool, urethane, brass, chrome, you know, inlaid, fiberglass. And yet, do you sit and analyze each one? No, because they're harmonious together. And it's like one nice experience. It's the Bellerian experience here.
George is pretty fearless and comfortable with so much contrast, while I'm nervous about anything that doesn't come in even-numbered sets. But I come to understand that it's the emotional or personal vibration you get from your things that counts when you're trying to get them to fit together.
You think those two chairs that are almost identical but they're not bother me? No. But you see, it works because it's just for a moment you notice a difference, and the difference could be nice. So this one will be my chair, the other one will be your chair, and that makes a story.
From George Bellerian's home, we go to the sanctuary of St. Peter's Church. It's a beautiful tent-like structure, hunched in the shadow of the steel and glass skyscrapers of the Citicorp Center on Lexington Avenue. This church is famous for its minimalist interior that was designed by Massimo Vignelli. Uh-oh. It seems harmonious with its spiritual intentions.
The space has a splendid height, accentuated by the organ and the pipes that shimmer with their metallic anodized or brush chrome look. And the massive amount of materials here are the granite floors, gray and large modules, square slabs with very rectilinear benches that are in American red oak. The space is highlighted by a beautiful iron Celtic cross in the back. The only color in this space are the benches that have these geometric cushions, and they are heavily into the pinks, oranges, purples, and green, rather outlandish compared to the minimalist look of everything else. I figured out why this church should be this way, and it's because it's in the middle of the city, right in the heart of the hassle and bustle, as they say, So you need a space to take you away from that madness outside. And when you go into a Baroque church, there's a combination of magnificence, of gold leafing, incense, a lot of religious connotations and layers of culture, workmanships, and the whole thing blends itself into a tapestry of sensibilities, all combined to give you a big blanket of richness, which people need to comfort them and soothe them.
But here in the midday stillness of St. Peter's, the right angles and extreme sameness of the materials evoke an unsettled sensation.
It's also plain. I just don't think that the fixtures and the benches complement in tonality well enough. I think it's mono style, uniform. Something is missing. It's not as peaceful that some other combination could have been.
We head upstairs to the chapel. This smaller space at first seems all clean lines and austere woodworking, with pews set at 45-degree angles to the center aisle. Three of the four white walls are covered with the massive bas-relief-type sculpture of Louise Nevelson, which have also been painted white.
This is very typical of her work. This one is even bigger and has no frame. 7/8 of the wall is covered by these cutouts that are glued and collaged on top of each other in clusters and in semicircles, in circles, in dots, and layered over each other. It's a big mumble jumble of shapes that are unified into one cohesive and soothing space. This is a harmonious space.
The chapel splits the difference between the riot of colors, shapes, and textures of George's home and the seeming monotony of the sanctuary downstairs. As he's pointed out to me before, the harmony of a space comes from how you feel when you're in it. And this room has presence and transparency at the same time.
You could really let go and relax and get into a trance if you want here. And so I don't have to think about the space. It will just be there, pleasant and soothing for me.
For Studio 360, I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez.